What's going on, guys? Back at it again with another podcast. Quick word from our sponsor, FNX. So as you guys know, we're still in quarantine. So that means still got to get that quarantine bod going. So do you want to thin out and become more muscular when you return to the real world? FNX has got you with a bunch of different supplements to help you boost your workout performance and recovery. You can save money with a subscription, or you can just order it one time subscription and use our code FIRSTDOWN to get 15% off your order. Thank you, guys.
What is up, guys? It's been a while. All right. So I got a little quick fun fact. Bet most of you guys did not know this, but I learned today that Julio Jones's real name is Quintoris Lopez Jones, not Julio. Which is very fascinating.
Craziness.
I don't know. That's a dope name. I don't know why you would want to change it from that. But, all right. Yes. Back to
the I don't know. All right. So, yeah. You want to tell them what we're doing today?
NFL Top 100. We are going to say our opinions, what they did wrong, what they did right, and how idiotic the people who made this is.
Now, well, just a reminder, as a disclaimer.
Yeah. This was made from the players and the coaches. So, it is like we're not there. We're not trying to block or tackle whoever this is. But then again, there are statistics, and I don't know. It's just our opinion. So don't go getting all angry like, oh, my God, Lamar Jackson is really good. He should not be at number 10 like you think he should. Like, it's just our opinion.
I don't think he should be at number
10. That was just an example. I don't either. All right. So my first thing that kind of pissed me off. I don't care, like, who you are. Like, this shouldn't happen. Josh Allen and Kyler Murray were picked before Dak. Dak was, like, in the 50s, I'm pretty sure 40s. Josh Allen 46. And Kyler were high numbers. And I don't know about you, but that pissed me off. I think the reason this happened was Dak has so many more weapons around him than Kyler and Josh Allen. Therefore, it kind of makes him look better and look kind of more stronger in a way, or more of a threat. But I don't know.
As you mentioned, Josh Allen went into Dallas on Thanksgiving night and embarrassed Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And Dak Prescott is so overrated, it's not even funny. Obviously, as we mentioned, I'm not the one trying to, you know, play zone coverage against Dak, but at the same time, this list must have been made like by teams that are under 500, because those were the only games where he actually deserved to be a starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. They should just do a system next year where they put Andy Dalton in when they play some. I don't know. This year though, Dak, this is the make or break year for Dak. I mean, you look at the weapons they have. Now it's not only Zeke, he's got Amari Cooper, CD Lamb, Michael Gallup. Like, you could put George, you could play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and probably make the playoffs. That is,
I would throw some dots.
And on top of that, I know their center retired, but at the same time, you know, Travis Frederick is a big loss, but at the same time, that's still top five. That's a top five offensive line in the league. So,
Zach Martin, Tyrone Smith. Who's that? The guy is Lyle Collins still on the team?
Lyle Collins at right tackle. Yep.
Yeah, he is.
They brought in Cam Fleming, which isn't a huge signing, but he can play guard.
I mean, he's all right.
Yeah. So number one thing that was on my list, I'm going to start off with some players that I think should have made the list. So I have four players who I think should have definitely been on this list. There's obviously some more that I have missed out on. But one that should definitely be on the list, Justin Simmons had a great year for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Buda Baker is on that list above him, that's pretty crazy. Considering I think Justin Simmons is probably, you know, a top 10 safety in the league. Same thing with Kevin Byard from the Titans. He should definitely be on this list.
McCourty.
Yeah, I guess you could definitely make a case for McCourty. I just think that Byard and Simmons are better than McCourty at this point in his career. I think McCourty deserves to be a Hall of Famer, but at this point in his career, he's a little slower, you know. I mean, he's got the stats, he's got the rings. He's got the All-Pros, you know, it is what it is. But Kevin Byard and Justin Simmons are better than McCourty at this point in their career, and Buda Baker is not above Simmons and Byard, so.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, in my opinion, Justin Simmons is the best coverage safety in the league. I feel strongly about that. He had a great year last year. He can cover. He got a good amount of picks, pass deflections. He really was all over the field. And Kevin Byard, he's a top, like, three safety, I think.
Top three. I'd put him probably top six, and he's not six.
Top three free safety.
He's
a top three free safety. He's really good. He picked off the GOAT, Big Trust, in the playoffs, which got them to the next game, which was clutch. And I feel that he should have made the list and not Buda Baker whatsoever.
I'm sorry, did you just call Lamar Jackson the GOAT?
Well, I was being generalized what everyone calls him, all the bandwagons.
And then two players I think definitely should have been on this list. Rodney Hudson, center from the Raiders. I think even in his older years, even in, you know, as he's getting older, 32, still definitely deserves to be on this list. You know, obviously there wasn't a lot of centers that made this list, but I still think he deserves to be on this list. And Eric Armstead, I think, deserves to be on this list. He had a really good year. Obviously Nick Bosa and, you know, D Ford helped open up, you know, some gaping holes in the, you know, B gaps and stuff because of that outside pressure. But Eric Armstead still had a really good year, and the fact that he just missed out on this list by four spots is pretty unfortunate. And then some names that I think probably could have made this list, not ones that, you know, I'm going to, you know, die that they didn't put him on the list.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Matthew Judon should be on this list. I think, you know, I think he's better than Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark is overrated, and he's at 95. But it is what it is. I didn't make this list.
All right.
I didn't block Matthew Judon. Another one is Kyle Van Noy. He had a really good year in that Patriots defense. The fact that he can just, you know, he can cover and also get after the quarterback is pretty his ability to do that is pretty elite. You know, he's definitely one of the better off-ball linebackers that we have in our league today. And the last one that I think probably could have made the list is Marquise Pouncey, center from the Steelers. Same idea as Rodney Hudson. Not a lot of centers made this list, but I think Hudson's definitely better than Pouncey, but Pouncey's still playing at a very high level for the Steelers.
I feel that Julian Edelman should have made the list, along with all of those players, because he was really the whole Patriots offense. He found a way to get open a ton. People find him underrated, but, like, tell me who else was a reliable catch for the Patriots. I mean, for Tom Brady. James White, maybe. Everyone else
definitely wasn't N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, dude, he was amazing. Him and Jacoby Myers lit it up. No.
I will give Jacoby Myers some credit. He was he got open. He got open. I wouldn't say he, you know. But he was open, I guess you would say. I mean Jacoby Myers outplayed N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry was a first rounder, and Jacoby Myers was like undrafted. So
yeah. All right. Well, after all that, I think we have another – then I'm going to bring up my other opinions. All right. In my opinion, the best tackle in the league is David
Bakhtiari.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And somehow, he only got 62. It just doesn't make sense with me because he's really good. He's sensational. He really helps Aaron Rodgers by covering his blind side. making sure that he has the time in the pocket. He's a really good tackle, in my opinion. I don't know why. No offense, they're great tackles as well, but, like, the tackle for the Ravens, what's his name? Sorry.
Ronnie Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley's above him. That just doesn't make sense to me.
No, Ronnie Stanley's at 74.
What?
Yeah, he's low. Well, Bakhtiari's the number one tackle here. He's just really low, which I don't know why, because left tackle is like the most important position.
Blindside protector.
Yeah, not the most important position, but I'd say third most important position in football, because you got, you know, the quarterback, and then you got the guy trying to tackle him, and then you have the guy trying to block that guy who's trying to tackle him. So I think left tackle is definitely, you know, it's definitely the most important position on the offensive line. And the fact that there are guards and centers like above Bakhtiari, I think, is kind of mind boggling, but it is what it is.
All right. You want to do the next one?
Yeah. Well, since we're on the topic of tackles, I think Ronnie Stanley's probably the second best tackle in the league. And the fact that they put Laremy Tunsil over Ronnie Stanley, I think that's straight up disrespectful. Ronnie Stanley didn't allow a single sack last year, and obviously Lamar Jackson was in the pocket. So scrambling ability makes it very hard to tackle him. But the fact that not a single sack from the left side of that line, that's pretty impressive. And you can make the same case for Laremy Tunsil. Obviously he did not allow zero sacks, but Deshaun Watson with that scrambling ability, I think that it's just clear as day that Ronnie Stanley is better than Tunsil, but it is what it is.
All right, next up, I'm going to settle the little rant Keenan Allen had on Twitter. Do you recall that, Andrew? You remember that?
I'm actually going to back him up here. I don't think he should be 77. I think he should be higher.
That's not what he said. All right. Hop on your brakes.
Mm-hmm.
He started crying. Oh, why is Mike Evans above me? Oh, why is Chris Goodwin above me? Keyword Goodwin. Tagged the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he started crying because even though these receivers are better than him, well, it's close, but I still think they're Mike Evans and what's his name are better, because
Godwin.
They are in their prime right now, and Keenan Allen's not. Maybe if we were to say Keenan Allen is prime, that would be an argument, but I still feel that. Along with that, like, I do feel he should be higher than what he was. Was he 77, correct?
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald was above him.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald all time is way better. I don't know about this season. Well. He's old. He can barely walk. He needs a cane. But and along with that, I feel he should be above DK Metcalf. No, he's above. Oh, my God.
Get it together, bud.
He should be above Jarvis Landry. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the blame could go on Phillip Rivers. But I think Keenan Allen, you know, obviously he doesn't have blazing speed, but he's really good at route running. I'd put him in top five route runners in the league. Obviously you have people like Devontae Adams who are better than him. But 77, I think he should be a lot higher. Not a lot higher. I would probably put him in the 60s, but that's just me. I like Keenan Allen. I think he's
good.
A really good talent, but
I'd say he's
77's a little low.
I'd say top 10 receiver, maybe 8 or 7.
I'd probably say Keenan Allen's top 11.
He's close. I know that.
Oh, now that I think about it. Wait, one sec. Now that I think on this list.
Oh my God, that's very.
Yeah, Kenny Galladay is not
so
on this
underrated list.
In top 100. I think Kenny Galladay is better than Keenan Allen.
Or Stafford would have been injured, yeah.
And yeah, Stafford was injured.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford was. I think the Lions could actually be a really good team this year.
They
I think
need
they're
it
guaranteed to get better because, I mean, they had
Matt
three
Patricia's
wins.
On the
block, but I think
out of there.
I don't know. Just something tells me. I don't know. I'm not a big believer in Matt Patricia, but something just doesn't feel right about the Packers this year. I don't know what it is, but they had 7 games that were one possession.
You know why you don't feel right about the Packers?
And they were 7-0 in those games. That doesn't happen back-to-back years. That does not happen back-to-back years.
They drafted a quarterback and a running back in the first 2 rounds instead of helping Aaron Rodgers. They are in rebuild mode, ladies and gentlemen. They are not contending no more. Oh, my God. Don't.
And then the Vikings, I don't know. I think offensively they don't really skip a beat, but that defensive line definitely took a hit.
They got corners.
All their corners are gone now.
They did lose the 2 to the...
Well, they drafted some, but they drafted Gladney.
And, no, they didn't lose. They lost
Mackenzie Alexander, Xavier Rhodes, and...
They lost Rhodes. They lost Wayne.
Yeah, they cut him, and he's on the Colts now.
They're actually fucked. Sorry for the language.
Yeah, they lost Wayne.
They did sign Michael Pierce, who would really be helpful for them, but then he's like, I'm going to opt out. Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he opted out, so... Also, guys, speaking of the opt-outs, this Friday we're
Get ready.
Coming out with power rankings post-opt-out, so be ready for that. That's going to be an interesting video. But, yeah, that's actually a good point. That defensive line is going to take a huge hit, so I don't know about, the Vikings. And I think the Bears, if Nick Foles is the starter, I think they could see some success. It depends on the production from that defense. But I did really like them signing Robert Quinn. I think that's going to be huge. And I think defense. And then I don't know. I think the Bears and the Lions are going to be sleeper teams. I think the Lions could possibly get 10 wins this year. They have a really tough schedule, but some games here and there, they can upset the Saints. I think you just need 9 wins to win the NFC North, maybe 10. I don't think it's going to be a very competitive division, but they're all going to be like, you know, around 9-7, 7-9, that area. Okay. I think it's going to be a really tight race, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. Yeah, I'll go. One of the biggest problems I had, I'm a Ravens fan, you guys know, but Peters is not 20 places ahead of Marlon Humphrey. Now, Marcus Peters did get listed pretty high. He's 53. I wouldn't put him that high, probably 60, in the 60s, and I think Marlon Humphrey definitely deserves to be in the 60s as well. Just Marlon Humphrey's ability, not only, to play the football, but he got a lot of deflections. And after the catch, he forced a lot of, big fumbles. The one on Juju, there was one that he forced against the Patriots and recovered and took it to the house for a touchdown. Just big plays like that. And also the fact that he's more of a lockdown than Peters.
Really?
He definitely deserves to be right next to where Peters is. Your Ravens boys?
All right.
Yeah. Really.
Cap. All right. We're not talking about that right now, though.
Best corner duo in the NFL. Hey, no, that is literally. I don't even know how you want to say it. That there's
I could
that's
argue
just a fact. The best corner duo in the NFL. Marcus Peters and
JC
Marlon Humphrey are better than JC Jackson.
Both better.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, though, JC Jackson never guards Peters and Humphrey both. Where Peters and Humphrey guard
How can they both
receivers.
Guard number one receivers when there's 2 of them, dingus?
Because they stay on their side of the field.
But
Peters
the thing is,
the
Peters
side.
Can't
you know,
be
when
number
he had that
one
pick
cornerback.
Six against
told
Russell
me this
Wilson.
Before, Al. Oh, Peters needs another person to guard the number ones so he can make plays.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying he could guard number one.
Well, because Peters is a ball hawk. He jumps routes.
But you saw him when he was playing for the
Rams.
Yeah, he
can.
He got toasted.
Well, that's because they didn't have Aqib Talib with them or Jalen Ramsey at that time. So the year before, when Aqib Talib was there and Marcus Peters was able to just track down footballs all over the field, that's when he was successful. And that's when the Rams defense was successful. It's the same center corner than Peters, but Peters can guard number one receivers. But I would, if I'm John Harbaugh, I'm putting Humphrey on number one receivers more often than Peters.
Next up for me, Kevin Byard. Hoo-wee. He should be on there. We already talked about that. I'm just going to skip over that one. Next up, yeah.
Woo-wee.
All right, this one kind of pissed me off. It may piss some of you guys off who are best friends and like, oh, my God, I love Mike Thomas. He's the best. He should not be over Julio Jones. Julio Jones is better in all categories. Julio Jones doesn't have Drew Brees throwing five-yard slants to him, getting an open field every time. No, Julio Jones had Matt Ryan got injured. Boom. They've had a backup throw to him, and he still had a good season. Sorry about my list. But Mike Thomas is not good enough. Well, he is not good. He does two-yard slants. Oh, I'm a good receiver. I can talk shit to Devontae Parker. No, you can't. He's not that good. He's overhyped.
Well, George, you know that I don't believe Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the league. Yeah. I think Julio's better than him. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is better than him. And I would even make a case that Devontae Adams is better than him. But I think he deserves to be number one receiver on this list. Do I believe he deserves to be five? No. But you look at the production. He broke the record of most receptions. And obviously, I know, it was mostly on slants. But the fact of the matter is, Teddy Bridgewater was the number one receiver on this list. Will he be the next year? That will go to DeAndre Hopkins. But I think that Michael Thomas he's not the best receiver, but he had the best production last year. Mm-hmm. But that's just is based on. So I would give him the number. I would give him the nod there. But I would rather have Julio and Hopkins over him. One of the things that I really am upset about is the fact that Todd Gurley is over Josh Jacobs. That really makes me mad because Josh Jacobs had a really, really good rookie year. And I think Josh Jacobs is harder to bring down than Todd Gurley. Obviously, I'm not tackling either of them. But Josh Jacobs is going to put you on the ground, and Todd Gurley was injured, but that's all the more reason why Josh Jacobs should be over him. And, I mean, this list definitely didn't show any hesitation to put in rookies high. Nick Bosa was 15 or, like, 17. He was 17. And Josh Jacobs is in Todd Gurley's in the 50s. Like, excuse me, what? And also, I would even put Chris Carson over Todd Gurley last year. Just Chris Carson had way more production than Todd Gurley last year. I don't know why he's this high. And I don't even think he'll play in Atlanta for 1 year, and I think they'll move on from him. So I don't think
I believe that as well. All right. Next up, I have Tre'Davious White getting disrespected. Tre'Davious White is the number two, the second best cornerback in the league. No question.
Yeah,
no
I had question. This one too.
And then there's Richard Sherman above him for sitting in a deep third all game, just waiting for receivers to come over.
Yeah, I understand it. You can make a case for Ramsey being better than White, but not Sherman.
Not slowpoke old man. No, sir. Come on, he's past his prime. Well, he is past his prime, but it's not like he still can't play. He's just not as good as he used to be. And he can't man up anymore. He has to sit in a deep third. He has to play zone. He can't man up to any fast receiver, or he will get toasted, as he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Another thing that I would put is Mahomes, I think, should be at one. Obviously Lamar. But I think Mahomes should definitely be at one. You know, I mean, Lamar last year, but Mahomes obviously went on to win a Super Bowl, and just the arm talent and also the leg talent that he displayed in the playoffs definitely deserves it, definitely makes him you know, qualified to be number one.
Next up, I got we have receiver Julian Edelman. Well, I have a little more to tag on to it. So I said Julian Edelman should make it, right? I don't know how Allen Robinson made it, but he didn't. Like, explain that to me. How Allen Robinson, he's on the list, right? 93. How the heck is he on there?
Mm-hmm.
But Julian Edelman isn't. Who is Allen Robinson? I don't know, because he's not good. I'm kidding, but he is not good enough where Julian Edelman should not be on the list. I don't know anyone who says, "Oh, I really have a problem guarding Allen Robinson." No.
Well, I think Allen Robinson has the talent. It's just Mitchell Trubisky does not have the talent. So.
All right. You got one?
Yeah. One I would put is Aaron Donald at 3. He had an off year. He does not deserve to be at 3. I'd probably put him at – I don't know. I honestly would put him at 7. And the fact that he's 6 ahead of the defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I still think Aaron Donald is undisputably the best defensive lineman in the league, but ahead of Mahomes, ahead of McCaffrey – I don't know. I wouldn't put him there that high. Obviously, he was number one last year, but I don't think he's a top 3 player this year.
Hold up. All right. I just noticed something, and I'm about to get pretty angry about this.
What?
Where is Kenny Clark? Where? Where? He's not on here.
That's a good question. He's not on here.
And we have all these trash DTs. Well, not trash, but they are not on the same level as Kenny Clark. You're telling me Grady Jarrett's better than Kenny Clark? Nope. You're telling me that the defensive lineman Frank Clark is better than Kenny? Nope. There are so many D linemen who shouldn't be on here, and Kenny Clark should. Cameron Hayward is good, but he's not better than him.
Facts. Preach, George. Also, DeForest Buckner is not...
He's on there, I'm pretty sure.
DeForest Buckner's at 56. Yeah, DeForest Buckner's at 56, but he's not, I don't even know how many, because Kenny Clark wasn't even in the top 110.
That's dumb. So I don't understand know.
Yeah, I got one that's kind of bothering me. Diggs is over Adams, and Adams is 57. Devontae Adams definitely deserves to be top 30, and there's no way Stephon Diggs should be over Devontae Adams. Just a pure route running skill that Devontae Adams has. I don't think if you're one on one with Devontae Adams, you don't stand a chance, because just the route running that he displays is so. I could watch it all day. Devontae Adams reminds me of Jamar Chase, who's in this upcoming draft. Just the route running is so good. And he doesn't have blazing speed, but the route running and the ability to track the ball in the air, that definitely makes him an elite wide receiver in this league, and definitely above 57 where he is right now.
Okay. This is going to be my last point, I think. Something that really annoyed me was the lack of tight ends on here. In all, there were 4 tight ends: Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, and last one, who am I forgetting? Ertz, right? There are mm-hmm. definitely more. Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Mark was Andrews a credible deserves threat. To be on this list. Right.
Okay, your Baltimore Raven is coming out of there. Chill.
He deserves okay, to be on this does, list. He's does. Better than Waller. I would put him above Ertz.
You would, but not many people would. But he is good. He had a
better year than Ertz last year.
Well, this is about how good they are in general, Andrew, not how much of a threat they are. Like, knowing the name and stuff too. Like, just because you have a good year, doesn't mm-hmm. you? Who are you going to be more scared of at the start of a season, Khalil Mack or Jason Pierre-Paul? Khalil Mack. You know the name.
Obviously,
that's the thing, though.
Or because he's a top 5 pass rusher, and that dude's scary. And Jason Pierre-Paul doesn't even have all 5 of his fingers. So,
All right, that was bad. But still, I feel there should have been more tight ends on this play. Okay, I messed up there, Joe. All right, you got one?
Yeah, my last point, this one's kind of big for me. Clowney at 41. I think Clowney's probably one of the most overrated players since he's gotten into a league.
That's facts.
He's not that good. I mean, he really didn't start having a good year until week 10 last year against the 49ers. And that's like, you know, that was his best game of the year. And obviously it was a good time to have a good game. But where was he in the playoffs after they beat the Eagles?
That's facts.
Yeah. He injured Carson Wentz, and that was basically the summary of his playoffs. He did really nothing. You know, he's not a reliable pass rusher, and the fact that he can just, you know, flip a switch between on and off, you know, being a top five pass rusher in the league from one moment and then being a top 20, you just can't have that inconsistency and still be top 50. You know, you look at guys like Chris Jones, who's behind him, who I think is a better pass rusher at the defensive tackle position. I would even put someone like Myles Garrett over Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clowney's super overrated, and especially on this list at 41. That's something.
All right, so my feeling about this topic, I was listening to a Patriots podcast because I am a Patriots fan. He is not a good player. I mean, doesn't have a good.
I mean, there's a reason why he's not signed.
This is what happens. Let's say it's rushing the passer, right? Ball's thrown. Let's say a slant route or something. He won't go ball chase. He won't go that extra 10 yards to try and get the tackle, to try and pop the ball out, punch the ball. He won't. He'll just give up on the play, say, oh, better luck next play. He doesn't have a high motor. He's not trying to help his team. He's just there for the stats. The sack, the forced fumble, this, that. Well, I mean, the strip sack. He won't go out of his way, run 20 yards downfield like I've seen other defensive DNs and make a play. He's really selfish, and that's why most teams haven't signed him yet or aren't willing to pay the $20 million he wants. He's a good player, don't get me wrong. I would say top 10 DN. But he needs to have a high motor and have a good work ethic to show that he should be higher on this list. And right now, he's just not up there. I think he should be 60s, 70s, not 40s.
Well, that's going to do it in today's podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to be trying to upload every Friday from now on.
Yes, sir.
So stay tuned for that. Friday, we have a very interesting one on deck. Ready for you guys. As I mentioned, we're going to be doing power rankings for post opt-outs. And hopefully in the future, I would like to do a 2021 mock draft based off the power rankings that we do decide on. But it'll be interesting to see how different ours are. You definitely got some opinions on some teams.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
Peace out, guys.
See you guys in the next one. Thank you, guys.
Peace.